We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Andy Herman here with another immediate breakdown of Evan Williams, your newest Green Bay Packer. Safety from Oregon, taken in the fourth round. Green Bay traded up to get him. Let's break him down right away and not waste any time. Before we go into Evan Williams specifically, though, I want to talk about the trends that Green Bay has displayed so far in this draft, because I always think that it is good to go into a draft with an idea of how you want to attack it. I love when there is a theme to the draft, and there are a few themes, in my opinion, that Goody has displayed so far through the first four rounds of this draft. The first one is needs. Best player available, be damned. I wouldn't go that far. I'm sure these guys were all within the realm of where the best player available on the board was. Offensive line depth was, in my opinion, the biggest issue on the team. They get Jordan Morgan, who can play a variety of positions in the first round. How about linebacker? Major issue, right? They needed depth. They needed another starter. They get Edgerrin Cooper. They get Hopper in the third round, and they very much attack that linebacker need in day two of the draft. Safety, major need. They go get Bullard in the second round, and they come back now, and they take Evan Williams in the third round, in the fourth round. Running back. We knew that they needed another playmaker at the position for if and when Josh Jacobs couldn't be on the field, whether that's injury or just needing somebody to take his spot. And they go out and they get Marshawn Lloyd, who fills that need. They went need heavy on these first four rounds of the draft, and understandably so. This is a team that was just a game away from the NFC Championship game, two games away from the Super Bowl, has a beautiful core. They go get Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney in the offseason. They return the core of their team. Jordan Love should only get better. These wide receivers should only get better. And they had some gaps that they need to fill that they weren't able to fill in free agency. And they went and filled those needs aggressively so far in this draft with six picks overall in the first four rounds. The second trend, versatility, right? They want versatile football players. Jordan Morgan, multiple positions along the offensive line. Edgerrin Cooper can play all the different linebacker types that they want. They said they wanted that versatility to be able to do everything they wanted with Quay and Edgerrin Cooper and have those guys do everything. They get that versatility at linebacker. Bullard can play deep safety, slot safety, box safety, two high safety, whatever you need him to do. Tons of versatility with Bullard. Now, Marshawn Lloyd, a running back is going to be a running back, but he does have some pass catching ability, at least projects to have that. Tough to have versatility as a running back, though. You're just kind of a running back. But then they get, again, another linebacker in the third round that can play all of those linebacker positions. And you get another safety that some believe is more of a box safety, but can play a little post. He thinks even play a little bit in the slot. We'll have to wait and see on that. But versatility has been the buzzword of this draft weekend. And then the last thing I will say is attacking. and especially on the defensive side of the ball. These four defensive players that they have taken so far, the two linebackers, Cooper and Hopper, the both safeties that they take, these are attacking football players. And obviously that's Evan Williams and Javon Bullard. All of them are downhill attacking football players. All of them are really good blitzers. All of them are willing to come in and help and run support. These are downhill attacking minded defenders. And we talk about all the time, Joe Barry, we're going to play soft defense, nothing over the top. We're going to keep everything in front of us. Goodbye. Good night, nurse. This is going to be a defense that is coming forward, attacking you with physicality. And that showed in this draft with the players that they targeted on day two and day three on defense. All right, so they get Evan Williams in round three. Let's address two elephants in the room right away. The Packers moved up in the draft. They traded up in round four to go get Evan Williams with a player like Jaden Hicks still on the board. I know a lot of people really like Jaden Hicks. I am people. I love Jaden Hicks in this draft. I would have had no issue if with that first second round pick, the Packers took Jaden Hicks. So in round four, and clearly the NFL viewed him different, right? The NFL viewed him different than Daniel Jeremiah did, than I did, than any other draft pundit who had him very high. I think Dane Brugler had him very high as well. The NFL didn't. Chiefs got him later in round four. But there is that question mark of there's this really good looking safety from Washington State that was on the board that we were all talking about potentially in round two. Green Bay said, no, we're going to move up aggressively in round four. And we're not going to take that guy that you like. We're going to take our guy that we like in Evan Williams. Time will tell, but that will be a fun juxtaposition one, or just sort of combo play there with two different safeties that are different on people's boards that we'll just have to sort of track over the course of time. Would have loved Jaden Hicks, but I'm excited to see what Evan Williams can bring to the team. The other elephant in the room. I don't know about you guys. I was in the live draft show at the time, and everyone in the chat, TJ Tampa, TJ Tampa, TJ Tampa, TJ Tampa, TJ Tampa. And I'm actually waiting on my phone. I'm like, I haven't seen any leaks for TJ Tampa yet. Apparently Pro Football Focus tweeted out that TJ Tampa was the pick. Apparently, I know Draft Diamonds did for sure. And I think a couple other places tweeted out that TJ Tampa was the pick. And everyone was blowing their minds. Everyone's super excited about TJ Tampa. And it was not TJ Tampa. It was Evan Williams. Such is life. I know a lot of people were really excited about that. That doesn't necessarily do Goody or Evan Williams any favor when you think you're going to get one of the value players that fell in the draft. And then all of a sudden it's not him and it's Evan Williams. But that was an interesting roller coaster of emotions as everyone thought, at least in the chat that I was in, it was going to be TJ Tampa. I know there were some online as well. I know Ross Uglum was, getting ready to throw a party for TJ Tampa. And then it wasn't, and it was Evan Williams. So TJ Tampa was a pretend Green Bay Packer for about 1 to 2 minutes until we got the news that Evan Williams was in fact the pick. All right, but let's talk about Evan Williams specifically. It's interesting how we talk about all the time how much Green Bay values Senior Bowl players. Well, look at this. Javon Bullard won the defensive specialist for the national team as like the best defender there for the national team during the week. Evan Williams won the defensive specialist for the American team. They value not only these Senior Bowl players, but the players that play well or specifically in practice, that practice well. And these are the two players defensively that stood out the most and won the two Senior Bowl awards for the best defenders on the Senior Bowl. That is pretty impressive. And they got both of them. Not only did they get both of them, they got both of them at the same position, both of them playing safety. For those wondering, Evan Williams was a Packers type all the way around. He hit every single checkbox on their measurables, on the thresholds that they look for. RAS is high, height, weight, speed. He hits absolutely everything. He was a crystal clean Packers type prospect with the Senior Bowl invite added in. He was on the big board, no question about it. Evan Williams checks everything and should have been, I think, clearly on the radar for a potential Packers pick at some point in the draft. Whether that's early round four or not can be up for debate. But this was always somebody that was going to be high on their board based on everything that he checks from an athletics standpoint. And again, being a big time Senior Bowl player as well. 6'1", 190, as I mentioned, all the measurables imaginable. From a positive side, as I mentioned earlier, he's an attacking football player. He's an extremely good blitzer. He's a box safety, in my opinion. And I know a lot of other people feel that way as well. But he does have some versatility. He's played a little bit in the slot. I think this is more of like a, you don't want to line him up. He's not going to be the new star corner. But if he's at safety, And again, you want to bring a Keyshawn Nixon off the slot and have him be a blitzer. Or if Javon Bullard's in the slot and you want to have him be the blitzer and you need that safety to come up and play that wide receiver in that situation, you can get away with that with Evan Williams being the guy that's going to cover that corner or that wide receiver. You don't want to make a living out of it, but he can do a little bit of it. I think he can play a little bit of box safety, but I think he gets turned around a little bit much. He needs to do a better job of locating the football. But overall, he does have a little bit of versatility, but I think he projects much better as a box safety in the NFL. The beautiful thing here potentially is if Evan Williams does work out, now you've got that extreme versatility with Javon Bullard. And what I mean by this is you have got a safety in Bullard who could just be a slot guy. And if Evan Williams works out and you can play him next to Xavier McKinney, now if Keyshawn Nixon struggles in the slot, you can put Bullard in the slot. You can put Williams at safety next to Xavier McKinney. I do think this is another situation where Xavier McKinney unlocks some of the talents of Evan Williams and allows him to play a little bit more free and instinctive. And McKinney can sort of take on the heavy lifting on the back end. But there is a world in which that could be a grouping that they play with, especially if you end up with an injury to Keyshawn Nixon. Now you just have more options on the back end of that defense. An Oregon's staff member texted a friend of the show, Justice Mosqueda, and said the Packers just got Oregon's best defensive player. Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl said multiple teams were hoping that Evan Williams would fall to them in the fourth round. Green Bay was not willing to do that. Again, if anything wants to give you hope, it's that Goody had the conviction. This was the player he went up and got. We talked about Cooper DeJean. We talked about other players, Terry Arnold, some of the other players that fell in the draft that maybe Goody could go up and trade for aggressively. He stayed put. He traded down. This is the one player that he went up and traded up for in Evan Williams. So that should tell you this is a player that they really liked and really thought was going to fit within Jeff Hafley's defense. And then the big thing here too, special teamer, 466 special team snaps, a gunner, blocked extra point, blocked punt. He's all over the place. And this is going to be a huge core player within Rich Bisaccia's special teams. And I'll say this one more time, and I said it yesterday as well. When you look at what Green Bay did in this draft and what you want to be able to accomplish on special teams, if at some point you want this special teams to be able to be a middle of the pack or at least or maybe even better special teams unit, you've got to get some guys that can be those difference makers on special teams. And I think Hopper and Williams have the ability to be those guys and be core special teamers for the length of their time in Green Bay. And while that's not the sexiest thing in the world, there's a lot of value in that. And that is hopefully going to take another step in transforming the special teams into a unit that isn't just the laughable bottom half of the league or bottom quarter, third, bottom five of the league special teams, but a special teams that can actually be competent. And with the new kick return rules, those things are going to be very important. The downside here for Evan Williams, his tape, at least I watched a few games already, it left you wanting a little bit more. I don't think there's a ton of upside here, meaning I think the ceiling is probably just good safety, which that's not a bad thing. If you get a good safety out of it, you will take a good safety. Think Morgan Burnett type upside, where Morgan Burnett was never going to be a Pro Bowler, was never going to be a Hall of Famer, but guess he's a good safety. I think that's sort of your upside here for Evan Williams is that type of player. A lot of missed tackles. He would try to, like, with that attacking style, he would try to level people, kind of lean with his shoulder, lower his head. Wrap up, my man. Wrap up. Make sure you get those guys to the ground. Even a couple times where he made the tackle, the running back got a few extra yards on the play because he didn't wrap up and bring that player to the ground aggressively. So that's going to be something he has to work on. He lacks playmaking ability. He showed it on special teams with a couple of those big plays, but on defense, interceptions, pass breakups really avoided him. And he struggles in space, whether it's the deep half of the field where he's got to locate the ball and go make a play, whether it's one-on-one against wide receivers in space where they have two-way goes. He definitely struggles in space as well. And that's going to be something that you have to be careful, which is why he projects more as that box safety. And if you use him in that way, I do think it limits some of those downsides that Evan Williams has on his tape. What Green Bay gets with this pick, depth at safety with a potential starting caliber player down the road. This is a fourth round pick. This is somebody that they do want to come in and have compete right away. We'll see if he can get in that conversation at safety, which would give you that versatility potentially with Bullard in the slot. I personally believe that Xavier McKinney and Bullard are going to be your safeties. And then Evan Williams is probably competing with Anthony Johnson Jr. as the first guy up off the bench and gives you a little bit of depth there. Special teams player immediately. Him and Hopper should be able to wreak some havoc on special teams. He's an attacking football player, good blitzer, projects as a box safety. Again, it does potentially give you that versatility to put Evan Williams at box safety, McKinney in the post, and then Bullard in the slot. And versatility once again, and just options of what Green Bay can do now that they have a couple more safeties on the roster. Jaden Hicks, Malik Mustafa, TJ Tampa, there were some very good players on the board. And Green Bay decided not to go in that direction. They decided to take Evan Williams. That'll be worth tracking. There's a couple, you know, interchangeable ones here. They went with Hopper in the third round over Cedric Gray, a player a lot of people liked. They went with Williams in the fourth round over somebody like Jaden Hicks. Those will be fun things to look back at over time. Did Goody get it right? We will see. Did the consensus get it right? And Hicks and, you know, Gray should have gone way higher and should have been the picks for Green Bay. We will see. But that's sort of the fun aspect of this draft is you don't know which way it's going to go. It's an inexact science. I'm excited to break down this player in great detail when we do the deep dives later, you know, this week and next week. But right now I'm intrigued. And same for Hopper. I'm intrigued by these players. I want to dig into the tape more and let's see what it says. And when we get to those super deep dives, we will break it down and go through all the positives and all the negatives. I do think there's a lot of positives here from a special team standpoint, especially with him and Hopper and being able to come in and I think be difference makers on the special teams from day one. Attacking player, depth piece, position of need, and core special teamer. They get a player here that's going to be helpful. Maybe it's not the high-end player that you're hoping for, but these players have roles in the team as well. And we'll see. Maybe he has a higher upside than any of us are maybe giving him credit for at this point in time. And again, did win that defensive player of the week for the American side in the Senior Bowl as well. And like Jim Nagy really, really liked him at the Senior Bowl and thought a lot of teams were going to aggressively go after him in the fourth round. Packers were the one that got him. All right, guys, that does it for me for now. I'll be back after the Packers' fifth round picks. We will see who they come up with. I'll see you guys soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go. Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello friends, if you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. What's going on, everybody? Andy Herman back here with another immediate reaction video, breaking down the Packers' two newest players, two players selected in the back end of the fifth round. Offensive lineman out of Duke, Jacob Monk, and safety out of Oregon State, Ketan Oladapo. They did use a late sixth-round pick in order to move up in the fifth round to get Jacob Monk. Again, offensive lineman out of Duke. We'll break down the tape in just a moment. And let me just say, first of all, like both of these draft picks, I think you're going to like both of these players as we dig into them a little bit further. But a couple interesting things here. Number one, with Oladapo on the board, and with them taking him in the fifth round, this is their third safety. They took Buller, they took Evan Williams, they now took Oladapo in the fifth round. A lot of times when you've got players on your board that are draftable players, and clearly they liked Oladapo enough to take him in the fifth round despite taking two safeties already, usually that means you're going to be a little bit more patient. They were not patient in the fourth round and moving up for Evan Williams. And I mentioned it in my last video when we talked about Green Bay being aggressive to go up and get Evan Williams and wanting to take him early in the fourth. I'll say it one more time here. Usually, again, if you have two safeties, draftable safeties like this on your board, you're willing to be patient and maybe just wait to see if Evan Williams gets there in the fourth round. They did not wait. They aggressively moved up in the fourth round. This just tells me even more how much they liked Evan Williams and how much they wanted to make sure that they secured his services, even if they did have a Ketan Oladapo on their board later with a draftable grade in the fifth round. So they did not mess around. They went and got their guy. We've also talked about the name of this draft, and that's versatility. Jacob Monk, five-year starter, right tackle, right guard, and center. He's got double-digit starts at all three of those positions. So he might end up just being a center in the NFL. We'll have to wait and see. I think he at least has some guard versatility, but he's had a ton of versatility in college. Ketan Oladapo played box safety, played post safety. He started his career as a cornerback. He's another one. He might end up more as just a box safety in the NFL. But he's had all of that versatility and experience in college playing different positions. And this is very, very clearly something that Brian Gutekunst values in an incredible amount. And we have seen that come to fruition all throughout the course of this draft. Also, more team captains. Jacob Monk was a team captain. Ketan Oladapo was a team captain. Just team captains littered in this draft. And we've heard for a while now, going back to Ted Thompson, they're going to draft Packer people, how much they value the locker room. They went and got high quality human beings, team captains, leaders, locker room warriors, and weight room guys that are constantly, like, they've got all of these type of guys this weekend. And this is something that Green Bay has valued quite a bit as well. Not just the play on the field, but the culture in that locker room. And whether or not that actually results to winning on Sundays and Mondays, etc., we'll see. But it does sound like they have a very close-knit, super motivated, perfect locker room. Sounds like this was not something that they wanted to take for granted. They added in the offseason two big-time locker room guys in Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Now, they lose a huge one in Aaron Jones. That we'll see how that goes. But they add two big-time leaders in Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs and then just litter the draft with team captains and, again, super locker room guys from all indications with this entire draft class. So versatility, team captains, both things that Brian Gutekunst has been pretty adamant about when adding players to this draft class. Let's start on the offensive line here. Packers get their second offensive lineman, of course, Jordan Morgan in the first round, now Jacob Monk in the fifth. I am a little bit surprised that they haven't attacked that position more aggressively. I thought this could be, and I still think they're going to get more. By the way, they've got three picks remaining. I'd be willing to bet one of those is an offensive lineman, but I thought this would maybe be like a first, a third, or a second and a third, like two day two picks, and then an early day three, maybe even a late day three. I thought they could have gone four offensive linemen, and again, maybe even earlier. I think this also, because of that, it was really important that they got that Andre Dillard signing. Yes, it's great that Jordan Morgan can play outside. And I'll just be clear here. I'll say it one more time. Andre Dillard is not guaranteed a roster spot. But they, so far, have only got the first rounder and the fifth rounder. That's not nothing. They got the very first pick in the draft as an offensive lineman with incredible versatility. And their fifth rounder might have some of that versatility as well and certainly could compete at center maybe right away with Josh Myers. And if not, maybe be a long-term play there. But I did think they'd be a bit more aggressive, and now it maybe feels like that Andre Dillard signing could even be a little bit more important as they build out the depth of this team on the offensive line after losing David Bakhtiari, after, you know, and I know he only played one game, but after losing Yash Nyman, after losing John Runyon Jr., there is going to be a transition here with some of the depth on the team, getting Dillard, getting Jordan Morgan, and now getting Jacob Monk are going to be really big for this team as they do try to rebuild the depth along the offensive line. They also get their third safety in this draft. When Brian Gutekunst recognizes that there is a deficiency at a position, he is not afraid to attack it aggressively. Xavier McKinney, and then, of course, you've got Ketan Oladapo, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard all in this draft. Those are four players, obviously McKinney free agent signing. Those are all four players that he went and completely reshaped the safety room. 2023, Darnell Savage, Jonathan Owens, Rudy Ford, Anthony Johnson Jr., Dallin Leavitt, Zane Anderson, a really tough safety group that, to be fair to that group, I thought overperformed for their talent level. They were mostly fine, not good, not great, sometimes bad, but most of the time you didn't really notice it all that much, which was a huge thing for that safety room because it needed a massive upgrade. But going from that to Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, Anthony Johnson Jr., and maybe Zane Anderson if he makes it, that is a night and day difference. As I joked yesterday, there is no human measurement known to man that can measure the distance between those two safety groups. It is a massive, massive upgrade, headlined by Xavier McKinney, of course, but getting three different safety types in Bullard, Williams, and Oladapo really going to finish out that depth. And you never know. There's a world in which, you know, Bullard's going to be really good. So I don't think there's much question about that. But if you did want to play Bullard in the slot, maybe Evan Williams becomes a starter at safety. Maybe Oladapo becomes a starter at safety. I'm sure Anthony Johnson Jr. is going to do everything to get his name in that conversation. But so much more talent and so much more competition in that room. They completely, completely made over that safety room. Let's talk about Jacob Monk. Quick scouting report here. Watch some of his Clemson tape. Really fun player. He matched up with Peter Woods, who is a defensive tackle for Clemson, who is likely going to be a very highly drafted defensive tackle out of Clemson in a draft or two from now, depending on when he comes out. There are a lot of people that thought that he could have been a high-end draft pick this year if he came out. I don't think he was eligible to yet, but either way, he is a high-end prospect, and Monk beat him on a couple different occasions. It was really fun to watch. He just overpowered him on one play. He's a five-year starter, as mentioned, team captain, had that versatility starting at center, right guard, and right tackle. He's a high-end athlete. Surprise, surprise, Green Bay targeting another super high-end athlete at the position. He's an attacking offensive lineman, uses great power, and is not afraid to throw some people around and pancake some people. You will see that power displayed on tape. He looks good from a movement ability. He has a couple plays where he's pulling out, and the athleticism shows up. This is not a slow lumbering. You know, he brings a really nice blend of attacking and power with the mobility that you're usually looking for within a Green Bay Packers offensive lineman. Has really good anchor. He's a shorter, stouter player, but with that comes a little bit more of a low center of gravity and that ability to anchor back. He needs that, by the way, and it's a little bit of a skill that he might go to, I think, a little bit too much, and he needs to clean up some of his technique so it's not that the opposing defensive player is getting into him and then he has to just anchor back, but that's something that's going to come with time. He also had the second best 10-yard split of any center at the combine, and what that means, that's the most important, one of the most important numbers, if not the most important number for the offensive lineman, because that shows how quickly you get out of your stance and how quickly you're able to explode up. Offensive linemen aren't running 40 yards more often than not. It's these short bursts, and the ability to get out of your stance, get up quick, and then attack the player and get your hands on them first before they can get their hands on you is super important. And that could be a, you know, quote-unquote superpower that serves Jacob Monk very well in the NFL. Negatives, smallish size and frame. Another short-armed king. He is, the Green Bay has really gone with the short-armed players. At least they have not let that hold them back in any capacity. So in any future Green Bay draft guides or in any future prognostications of who Green Bay will take in drafts, if one of the asterisks next to the player is short arms, ignore it because Green Bay does not care, apparently. They took a lot of guys with short arms at a variety of different positions in this draft. He does have 20 penalties in his career, which is quite a few. He may not actually have that legitimate versatility in the NFL. Like I mentioned earlier, he might just be a center. I think he's a center that can probably kick to guard in emergency, but he probably does focus on center more at the NFL level. We talked about hand placement with Jordan Morgan. There's a similar issue here, and I think he needs to do a much better job, especially with short arms, of getting those hands inside. If you have the combination of having short arms with bad hand placement, and we saw this with Jordan Morgan on tape as well, it can very quickly become an issue, and Jacob Monk is going to have to figure out a way to get those hands inside so that longer arm players and just bigger athletes in the NFL don't give him the trouble that some of the college players did at the college level. My fit for him, I think he's a true backup center. If he comes in and is just awesome from day one, maybe he could push Josh Myers a little bit. I don't know how quickly that would come, but you're trying to develop him. I think he's probably that swing interior offensive lineman that can play some guard, can play some center. If Tom does not move long-term to center, so let's say Josh Myers walks next offseason, I do think he could be in the conversation to start at center in 2025. That's probably something that you're trying to develop him into just to give you more options. If you don't end up in a situation where Tom moves or you just don't want to move him and you keep Zach Tom at right tackle, maybe Jordan Morgan just beats out Rashid Walker and Rashid Walker becomes your swing tackle. You still got Elton Jenkins at left guard. You've got Sean Ryan at right guard. Now maybe you have somebody that could potentially start at center in Jacob Monk without having to move Elton Jenkins, without having to move Zach Tom. That's what they'll try to develop him into as a potential starting center in 2025. And like I said, I do think he could have some guard versatility as well, at minimum in a pinch on game days if he is up and active on the game day roster. All right, Ketan Oladipo. This is another one of those where if you told me Ketan Oladipo went in the fourth round and Evan Williams went in the fifth, like it sort of feels a little bit more right. But as I mentioned earlier, clearly Green Bay valued Williams quite a bit. Again, safety out of Oregon State. 6'2", 216, 8.18 relative athletic score, 88.3 grade on 789 snaps by Pro Football Focus this past season, 242 career special team snaps. I immediately, when I started watching him, thought that if they didn't draft anyone else, this was my notes prior to the draft, obviously, but if they got to the fifth round, which is where they drafted him, if they got to the fifth round and they didn't draft another safety yet, this is a player that I thought could come in, you draft him in the fifth, and you sort of use him as a placeholder until maybe you were able to upgrade it at another time. And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Meaning, I thought he could come in, start right now, and you wouldn't notice it. Would you want something better? Probably. And I think just yes. But it's not catastrophic. Like, I thought he had that ability and thought he could potentially come in and be that guy that could start next to Xavier McKinney. I'll say it one more time. Not ideal, per se, but like sort of like a Chris Barnes. And Chris Barnes was an undrafted guy. But when Chris Barnes, as an undrafted guy, had to start for a while, it was like, yeah, this isn't great, but like we're not losing games because of Chris Barnes. Like, we can sort of get by here. Charlie Peppera. Now, Charlie Peppera was next to Nick Collins, right? But Ketan Oladipo would be next to Xavier McKinney. That's the sort of dynamic I thought that if, again, you didn't address safety in the first four rounds and you got somebody like Oladipo in the fifth, you could get by with this and not win games because of it, but not lose games because of it either. And that's how I sort of viewed him. And instead, you drafted two safeties in front of Oladipo and now still have him as a depth piece that, in case things happen, if you do have some injuries or maybe you need to use Bullard in the slot, maybe Evan Williams doesn't work out, you still have that guy that I think could come in and play some legitimate safety without like losing the game because of him. And that might not sound sexy, but that is an important thing to have, especially for somebody who could come in and be that depth safety right away. He's a little stiff-hipped, if not very stiff-hipped. I think he's going to ultimately have to be a box safety only. I don't think he's going to have quite that versatility that maybe we would hope he would have, but I think he can be a good box safety. He's going to struggle to change directions and keep pace in the open field. Although he did have one play where he chased down from behind and forced a fumble that was beautiful. So he did display some of that long speed, and with that bigger frame, you know, that's something that hopefully continues to show up on tape moving forward. Too many missed tackles, looks the part of a box safety. There are things on tape that make you want to take a chance, just some of the upside stuff and the versatility and the speed, like it shows up on tape. So you continue to, even though he was making some mistakes from time to time, you kept kind of wanting to be like, yeah, but I still kind of like him. I can still kind of make excuses around some of these things that he's doing. And again, this was my notes on him prior to the draft, so I'm not rose-tinted glasses and looking at him in a different lens now. This was even beforehand. I'm like, I still kind of like this guy, even though there's a couple things that I'm a little worried about. I like the way that he plays the game. Very good blitzer, team captain, previously played cornerback. He did lack some explosive traits on tape. I didn't think there was anything like you watch Edgerrin Cooper and it's like, bam, he's like exploding to places. I didn't think Oladapo had that. It's more of like he's taking good angles. He's getting to his spots, but you don't see some of that explosiveness on tape. 24 this year, so he's a little bit older aged, and he's probably going to have to really be another core special teamer, but he only had a couple hundred snaps on special teams in his entire career, which was longer, and only 242 of those snaps. So he does project as a core special teamer, but you almost would have liked to see a little bit more of it in college. I thought he was going to be somewhere between the fifth and seventh round when I, again, scouted him ahead of time. He goes in the fifth round here to Green Bay. This is the Packers type of safety that, again, in the maybe Ted Thompson era, they don't address it with Xavier McKinney and they take him in the fifth round and just say, yeah, that guy can go out and do it. And he plays for 3 years and you're like, ah, this is fine, I guess. If he has to be right now, your starting safety, you're probably wanting a little bit more, but a depth piece at safety that has starting upside, special teams prowess, projects as a core special teamer, and is a really good depth piece in a completely made over safety room, that's what I can get on board with in the fifth round. And again, I do think he has legitimate starting upside if he can continue to progress as a safety in the NFL. Really like both picks. I think it was a really strong fifth round overall for Brian Gutekunst. I would like to see Green Bay keep attacking offensive line through the remainder of this draft. They have three picks left as of right now, 202, 245, and 255. They did trade a couple away, remember, moving up in the fourth and moving up in the fifth, but should be a exciting remainder of the draft. I'll be back here at the end of the draft in the seventh round to break down everything after the seventh round, and then I'll go live for a members only Q&A after that. I will talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the sixth and seventh rounds, and go Pack Go in the meantime.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Andy Herman back here with another reaction video to what the Packers did to finalize their 2024 NFL draft, wrapping up with one selection in the sixth round, two selections in the seventh round, and then we've already got some undrafted free agents trickling in as well, so we'll go over that. Just to kind of recap, first of all, this is going to be just my finalizing the final sixth and seventh round picks and going over a couple other things really quick. Tomorrow morning, I'll have my full recap of day three. Then Monday, we'll do a full recap of the entire weekend and draft and everything that's going on. And then I have interviews set with Tony Pauline, draft expert, Ben Fennell, draft expert. We'll get their takes on the class. And then from there, we're going to start doing all of these deep dives, unwrapping all of these presents. I take that deep dive more seriously than pretty much anything I do all season, making sure that you get all the information that you need on all of these brand new Green Bay Packers. So again, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure to do so. Those are going to be can't miss. Ross Uglum's going to, I think, have on some special guests covering some of the Packers draft picks as well. He'll have his recap coming up. So we have a ton of draft content coming your way so that you guys can know everything about these new Green Bay Packers. Packers did finalize their draft with 1 6-round pick, Travis Glover, offensive lineman, Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane, and then Kalen King, the corner out of Penn State. Let's just start there. Again, we'll do a little bit deeper dives into this in the episode for tomorrow morning, but Travis Glover, mauling offensive linemen. As I mentioned earlier, I thought that maybe they would go a little bit more aggressive on attacking offensive line in that third to fourth round range. Instead, they went with Glover here. They went with Jacob Monk a little bit earlier in the draft. I think in the fifth round it was. So they still attacked it. And of course, you know, that Jordan Morgan guy in round one, they get three guys in the draft. All of them a little bit different. Glover is more your physical mauling player. I think he has, we've always talked about, I should say, in the red zone area and just in general in the running game, maybe they don't have enough of these guys that are pure physical movers that if you get into the red zone, like they're just going to push you 5 yards downfield. Travis Glover has some of that potential. Going to need a little bit of work in pass protection. Not usually your Packers type of player, a little bit lower on the RAS side of things. And again, usually you're looking at those clean movers. He's a little bit on the heavier side. But Green Bay takes a little bit more flyer type players on day three of the draft that maybe don't hit everything that they usually look for. We know that they're willing to take chances on undrafted guys like a Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta. Like, they're willing to do that again later in the draft. They took a little bit more of a chance here with Travis Glover. Immediate look at the tape. It looks pretty impressive. Like I said, pass pro is probably the thing that he's going to need the most work on. But a player I really like here in the sixth round for Green Bay. And then I thought they crushed it in the seventh round. Michael Pratt, the quarterback. I know a lot of people thought this was going to be a top 100 pick. I never really saw it that way. I did have the chance to break him down because some people did have him in the top 100 prior to the draft. I had a more fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh round quarterback, kind of a late day three type of guy. But this is a winner. This is somebody who has played a lot of college football, extremely accurate, will step up in the face of pressure, will make those job description throws, has a lot of success in his college football career, really led Tulane. I mean, they beat USC and Caleb Williams in their bowl game in 2022, and a lot of that is due to what Pratt was able to do at quarterback. He's been a big-time player in college football. He has low-tier, I think, starting quarterback upside with high-tier backup quarterback upside. And whatever he becomes, this is a really nice pick to take towards the end of round three. I do agree that he probably was not expected to be there. And a lot of really smart draft people did have him in the top 100 on their draft board. So definitely worth the risk here. I talked a little bit of this on the live Q&A after the show. Even if he fails, last year they cut 2 7th round picks. Who cares? You take the flyer on this guy. We've seen guys like Brock Purdy go in the seventh round and become starting quarterbacks out of nowhere. This is that type of player that has some really unique traits, has won a ton in college football, is very accurate, mobile. He has a lot of the things that you look for. I think he is a higher level caliber prospect than what Sean Clifford was a season ago. If I were a betting man today, I bet Sean Clifford wins that battle just because he has that extra year in the system. But I bet they keep all three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. Obviously, this does not sit well for Alex Magoo. I still think they'll take four guys maybe into OTAs and mini camps, but it's going to be really tough for Alex Magoo to make any real headway into this 53-man roster at this point. And Magoo is already 29 years old. Love the pick of Michael Pratt. And then Kalen King. Kalen King was a corner that at the end of last year was being put on draft boards as the potential number one corner in the 2024 NFL draft. Now, he had a rough season, didn't play as he was expected to. This is a trend that Green Bay has done a lot of. Guys who didn't play their best college football in their final season, but had really good seasons the year before. To some extent, Jordan Love fits that billing. Dontavian Wicks absolutely fits that billing. Hopper, their linebacker in the third round, is the same sort of way. And so is Kalen King. Sauce Gardner signed off online on Twitter saying that the Packers got a steal in Kalen King. This is going to be a player that has the ability to be this year's Carrington Valentine, a seventh round corner with high end upside. He didn't test the best. He didn't play well last year in college. What Green Bay is going to try to do is getting him back to the way he played in 2022. At least he has shown it at one point that he could be a very high end corner. So Green Bay saying, hey, you know what? We're going to nuke 2023. We're going to pretend it didn't happen. We're going to take a flyer on this guy in the seventh round. If you would have told anyone at the end of 2022 that the Packers got Kalen King in the draft, they probably would have told you that they took him in the top 100 of the draft, and they might have told you that they took him in the first round. They get him as a flyer, end of seventh round guy. Huge pick for Green Bay here. Again, might not turn out. Maybe doesn't even make it out of training camp. We will see. But these are the exact type of players that you want to be taking swings on in the seventh round. And if they don't work out, who the heck cares? But a potential quarterback that has some real legitimate upside, a corner who is expected at one point to be a first round pick, sign me up. Let's get him into Green Bay and let's see if we can get that mojo flowing and maybe Kalen King back to the way he played a couple years ago. And Michael Pratt, let's see if we can take all of those juicy traits and the things that made him successful in college and carry those things over into a system that will be very friendly to a quarterback like Michael Pratt. Meanwhile, there's already some undrafted free agents rumors out there. Packer Reports already got it up on their list. Michigan offensive tackle Trent Jones, University of South Florida offensive lineman Donovan Jennings, more on that in just a second. NIU defensive tackle James Esther, Arizona State University tight end Messiah Swinson, Ohio defensive tackle Rodney Matthews, Washington linebacker Raylan Goforth, Elkhorn State running back Jervion Howard, Albany wide receiver Julian Hicks, and Wisconsin long snapper Peter Bowden. Two guys I want to hit on really quick here. Donovan Jennings, the tackle slash guard from South Florida, he was on my list of one of the 25 most likely Packers coming out of this draft. They didn't draft him. They get him an undrafted free agency. They gave him over $100,000 in guaranteed money, which is huge for the Packers. They usually don't do that. This is like getting an extra seventh round pick. I really like this for Green Bay. I think he has a real legitimate chance to make it as a guard in the NFL. Big time undrafted free agent signing. Peter Bowden, long snapper, Wisconsin. Dane Brugler's top rated long snapper. Not only did Green Bay get arguably the top safety in the draft, arguably the top linebacker in the draft, Daniel Jeremiah's top running back in the draft, but Dane Brugler's top long snapper in the draft. But in all seriousness, I expect Peter Bowden to win the long snapper job. Wholeheartedly, I do not think Matt Orzech will make it. I think Peter Bowden's going to be your new long snapper. And hopefully, finally, the Packers' long-running nightmare of long snappers and circling through will be done. I think Peter Bowden has the ability to be the guy that ends that. I will look you in the eye and tell you I have not watched any long snapper tape. I will tell you that he was Dane Brugler's number one guy. And I will tell you that Matt Orzech was not very good. So I am excited about Peter Bowden being that guy for Green Bay and hopefully becoming the long-term long snapper. Meanwhile, Matt LaFleur, in his press conference after the draft, two big takeaways. Number one, Kingsley Enagbare did not tear his ACL. Now, where would we have got that crazy assumption that he tore his ACL from? Kingsley Enagbare said it in the locker room exit. He said, yep, tore it. He thought he tore his ACL. He did not, apparently. So it's still injured. Still not 100%, but the idea that he tore his ACL and might miss a good chunk of the season, that apparently is gone. Matt LaFleur is pleased where he's at and gave us the update, and Brian Gutekunst followed up on it as well. So no torn ACL for Kingsley Enagbare, which might explain why they didn't draft an edge rusher. I explained it on the chat too. It was not a great edge rusher draft for Green Bay for the types of players that they like, but great news for Enagbare. And also, sounds like Eric Stokes is ready to go 100%, no setbacks, no nothing, which is maybe a reason why they didn't address corner super aggressively. So some good news there. Your full draft class in its totality: Jordan Morgan, Edrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyron Hopper, Evan Williams, Jacob Monk, Ketan Oladapo, Travis Glover, Michael Pratt, and Kalen King. Really fun draft class. Cannot wait to break it down with you over the course of the next couple weeks, pick by pick. Can't wait to talk to Tony Pauline and Ben Fennell. Should be a ton of fun. Ross will be in here doing all of his amazing stuff. So tons of draft content still coming your way. Unwrapping the presents is arguably the best part of the entire draft process. So like I said, should be fun, should be epic. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Become a Packaday Podcast YouTube member. Tons of great stuff that'll be out there as well. You get those extra member Q&As. Either way, appreciate all the support. Appreciate you guys so much for all of the people that showed up to the live draft party. We had over 2,000 people on Thursday, over 1,600 people on Friday. I think we came close to 1,000 today in just the quick quick one that I did prior to the Packers, picking in the fourth round today. People showing up at Badger State for the draft party. Just the support has been endless. I think we added almost 100 Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships over the course of the last month. It's overwhelming. I cannot thank you guys enough. I will be back soon. Sunday morning, we'll launch, again, our full takeaways from day three. Monday morning will be all of the takeaways from the entire weekend and sort of the story of all of their draft picks. And then, like I said, we'll start breaking down these draft picks pick by pick, and I can't wait to get into it. I'll talk to you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.